I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. We're continuing our 30 Issues in 30 Days election coverage with a focus on job retraining programs. Earlier, we got a big picture look from Marketplace reporter Mitchell Hartman. Now we're going local with a focus on job training programs that are going on here right in Boston. Lyndia Downey, the president of the Pine Street Inn, joins us to talk about Pine Street's job training programs, how they work, and who they help. Lyndia Downey, welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Callie.
So let's talk about your programs. You've got two big ones. Describe them for us.
We have two job training programs that are, in fact, run as small businesses or called social enterprises. One is iCater, which is a catering business where our guests are employed in the business. Grosses about $1 million a year, providing food to other nonprofits. And also there's a corporate catering arm. And we have another social enterprise called Boston Handiworks, and it's a small property management business.
And they do all kinds of handy person services.
Property management. We have a customer that has 30 buildings. We do all the light maintenance, the painting, the landscaping. We do small jobs that people have a hard time finding people to do.
So what motivated Pine Street to get into the business, if you will, of job training? How did you see that it would benefit your clients?
What I would say, Callie, is that even when the economy is not as tough as it is now, it is hard to find employment when you have been living in shelter or on the streets for any period of time. And the longer you stay out of the workforce, the harder it is to get employed. And we found that people needed a bridge between their time in shelter and employment. So both of these job training programs, social enterprises, are designed to really give people some very hard skill training, soft skill training, and also give them something to put on a resume that doesn't say Pine Street Inn. They worked for iCater, catering company. It's got a separate name. It really is a separate business. And it was a way really to help people get something on a resume, get some skills together, and then at the end, we help them find employment.
So who are the clients who are benefiting from these job training programs? I mean, because when they get to you, they're trying to come back up.
They
hit a rock bottom.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there are people who want to get back into the workforce, who are staying in shelter, who have lost their jobs, lost their housing. They are people coming out of, in some cases, halfway houses where they're getting sober and really trying to work hard on getting their life together. They are people who walk through the front door of shelter and will come to us and say, I want to work. And we might make an assessment that, look, we think you need a little bit of training time, a little bit of stabilization time before you actually go back out and start looking.
So and the programs are last for several weeks. They're guided by folks who know what they're doing. It's real well coordinated in that way. And when people graduate, do they have a sense or do they know that they definitely are going to be employed? For one thing, you've got people already lined up for your services, I guess.
Well, our employment placement rate for these programs is anywhere from 50 to 60%. The food services industry as a whole has done okay. No question there's been challenges in these past couple of years. But these are entry-level jobs, Callie, for people so they can get first and last month's rent and get out of shelter. Mm-hmm. And we have found that that's been a good job market for us. I think on Boston Handiworks, which is our property management business, a little bit more challenging because there's less development going on. Less work in the construction trades, I would say. So that's been a little bit harder. But again, we're looking at entry-level jobs. And for the most part, we feel positive we have been able to find employment for people at the end of their training time.
So describe the journey for somebody who's, you know, hit the bottom of where they thought they could go, and now they have gone through the training and they're back working. What's that like for those people when they graduate and they're out there?
So I was with someone yesterday who's moved into one of Pine Street Inn houses on Beacon Street in Brookline. And he is someone who, in fact, I don't think ever came into shelter. We worked with him directly on the street. He slept outside. The two Pine Street Inn outreach vans worked with him a lot to try and help him get some treatment for his substance abuse. He went into treatment. He came out of treatment. We stayed with him. He went into a halfway house for a very short period of time. We were able to connect him with housing and job training. And he's now living on his own. He's got a full-time job works for an internet company doing fulfilling orders, an online company. Has gotten his license back. You know, I just see no end for the opportunity for him now that he has all those pieces together. But he was on the street for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with Lyndia Downey. She's the president of the Pine Street Inn, and we're talking about the two job retraining programs that Pine Street sponsors, Boston Handyworks and iCater. Boston Handyworks are job maintenance, building maintenance kind of tasks, and iCater is corporate catering for corporations. So you've had a lot of response from corporations and others in hiring your people. They've been pleased. I was reading the testimonials.
Yes, we have. We've been pleased. We've been able to do a couple of things. One is we have some internship. Well, we have some little bit of federal money that we've used for internships for people. And I would say 80% of our interns who end up in an internship site get a full-time job out of that internship. So once people get out there and they can prove they work hard, they want the job, the employers where they're placed often hire them full-time, which is exactly what we want. I would say that we have, on the food services side, we just had the Glynn Group down, past month. They own the Black Rose and the Granary. They hired about 10 of our graduates to work in their kitchen, everything from sous chef to, you know, some other back of the house things. So I feel like we can deliver people that have good training, that have been taught good work habits, and that are very eager to work.
So this looks like the wave of the future in general. If we go large, writ large, job training is the wave of the future, because wherever you are, whether you're at what some people consider just the most lowest point in shelter, to, as we've just talked about with Mitchell Hartman, people who just don't have a beyond a high school diploma and they're stuck and they don't know how to move to the next step. Job retraining seems to be the way to get back in and start, and maybe even kick the economy up a little bit.
Well, I think everybody's onto a good point, Callie. We found that because many of the people we see start off with so many disadvantages, originally we started job training to help give them a leg up and help level the playing field a little bit. It's essential for people who have not been in the workforce for a long time to have some job training, straight training, retraining. I saw an interesting statistic this morning. We have a small program where we engage with people who move out of shelter into housing in trying to get them to go to work fairly quickly. Within a week of them moving into housing, we have a case manager go out and talk about, would you like to go back to work? What would it take? We did a small sampling of people who did not get that outreach for reentry into the job market. The people who got the additional training and right away were approached about getting into the workforce, 50% higher placement rate in housing. In jobs, 50% higher engagement around work, but a 50% higher placement rate in jobs at the end of the same time period. So I think we have some numbers now, again, small sampling, that it really does pay off in the end.
So the question comes, and there's all kinds of ways of paying for this. You know, there's the federal government's paying for some big job training programs. The states, as I mentioned in my conversation with Mitchell Hartman of Marketplace, have decided to invest and work with corporations to pay for job retraining programs. And then we got small institutions like yourself using a mixture of funding for that. Is this important enough at this point, whether or not we were in a recession, that this is something that ought to be really on the agenda of how we go forward as we try to think about how we're going to maintain a well-trained workforce?
I think for this population in particular, the standard job training that's out there is not going to be sufficient for many of the people we see to get back in the workforce. They're going to need some more hand-holding. There's going to take some more time. But the payoff at the end is that they're working, they're back on the tax rolls, they're housed. There's lots of huge ancillary benefits, never mind the fact that employment is a huge self-esteem booster for people who have had so many hits and have fallen down so far. It is enormously gratifying and has all kinds of other ancillary benefits. What I would say is for this group, there's not a lot of dollars out there, which is why we started the social enterprises, so we had a way to fund some time in for people and sufficient time for them to be able to find employment. But because it takes longer, these are not people that in 2 weeks are going to go through a two-week training program and find a job. It's going to take longer. It means we need to find some other ways and some, you know, I would love to see some more public investment in this group, because we know if you invest, it pays off in the long term for them.
So more specifically on your graduates and the workers you're training, on the handyman, the Boston Handyworks, Are those people available for small jobs for, you know, individuals who are looking? I saw a couple of testimonials Absolutely. Where people had mm-hmm. been, you know, they didn't have a big building, but they had stuff around their house they wanted to have done.
Absolutely. Yeah. We do everything from larger buildings where, as I said, we've got a customer who has 30 buildings and we do the property maintenance for that. We just built a deck in Brookline a couple weeks ago, rebuilt the deck. It was there, but had to be rebuilt. We really do everything. We've done some projects for Trinity Church, who's been a great partner of the Inns. So, yes, absolutely available for that. The catering business is available for corporate catering, and or we also have a group of institutional customers, other nonprofits who don't have large kitchens, and we provide the food for them.
Well, yes, and you brought some of this delicious food. These cookies look yummy from iCater. That's certainly a way of letting us see in a concrete way that job training works.
Absolutely, and I brought you a cutting board too, Callie. The men and women in the Handiworks program, when we don't have actually outside jobs, we have them producing cutting boards at the warehouse, and we're selling the cutting boards. Again, another way to produce revenue so we can use the dollars to get people some good job training time.
Governor Deval Patrick, now these may be different kinds of jobs than the ones that you are sponsoring at Pine Street, but yet it's part and parcel of the whole thing. Has been talking very seriously with community colleges to get them to work alongside companies, some corporations, to be specific in curriculum that would help people be the bridge that mm-hmm. Pine Street has been for your clientele. This is a good thing for you as you look at it?
Absolutely. I think more of those bridges are essential. I also think that the community colleges have a role to play, even for many of the people we work with. What we're finding is some people actually want to go back. We have a small house for homeless vets. I think 30% of the vets there have enrolled in community college since they've moved into the house. They want more education. They want to get a better job. They want to move out of what right now is a single room. You know, they're sharing a house with lots of other people. So I think it's a worthwhile investment. I think the community colleges are well positioned to be able to offer that infrastructure that doesn't exist for low-income people who may not be able to get it on the private side.
How many years has the iCater and Boston Handiworks training programs been in place now?
I think iCater's been 7 or 8 years, and Handiworks, I think, about 5.
And you mentioned earlier that this is called a social enterprise program, and others around the country are doing some similar programs. Are there still a handful? I haven't heard of many. Yeah.
No, these are challenging. It's really they're two small businesses that really fund the training time for the people who stay in shelter. So they're self-funded training programs in effect, but take some capital to get these up and to get these jobs, these training programs up and running, and to get these businesses up and running. So you can't do it unless you have some access to some capital to get things moving. And there is quite a movement across the country, including some interest from the White House in developing more social enterprises. There is an Office of Social Enterprise Development now at the White House. We think it's a terrific route to go because it allows the market to provide training in a very untraditional way. And it also makes us less reliant on public dollars in order to get people jobs.
Thank you so much, Lyndia Downey. We're talking about job retraining with a local focus in Pine Street's Inns. Boston Handiworks and iCater are two fabulous examples. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Callie.
We've been talking about job retraining with a look at Pine Street Inn's job training programs, and I've been speaking with Lyndia Downey, the president of Pine Street Inn. To learn more about the Pine Street Inn and about our 30 issues in 30 days election coverage, visit WGBHnews.org. Affirmative action, same-sex marriage, voter rights. These are some of the high-profile cases that the Supreme Court justices will be hearing. Today, they start their new term. We'll look at the cases, big and small, that are on the docket. I'm Callie Crossley. The conversation never ends here on 89.7 WGBH.